These are the vocal exercises I do for everybody who's asked, how do I start recording every day? How do I vocally exercise before recording? For all the different characters, what you just heard a split second ago, that was it. That's what I do every single time. Feel free to make that same sound yourself. If you would like to prepare yourself for your own vocal warm-ups, you know, that's a free danger step for you. 100% credible. Hey guys, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for another Drunken Dangerous. How are you? I bet you're fantastic. So am I. Even better since I got to make up that bullshit about vocal exercises. The truth is I don't do any. I usually just go about my day, and then eventually when I think the planes are probably not going to fly, I will record. That's my exact process. It's literally nothing specific. I'm the worst teacher ever. Don't expect any wisdom or anything from me. My advice of acting is just be that person you pretend to be. How do you do a voice? Just do it. Just make your voice do the sound. I swear I'm a native English speaker, but you would never think by how I describe things. And you will keep guessing that same question over and over as we continue reading our way through Grimm's fabulous classic fairy tales. Where we last left off, we were guessing a little man's name, and a prince was perving on a 7-year-old's corpse. And honestly, I feel like we have nowhere to go but down from here, because, like, I mean, come on. It can't get worse than that. I feel like it hit a peak, and it's just going to get nicer from here, you know? I mean, it could get more depraved. I guess it depends. Is it like 2020? If it's like 2020, it's just going to get worse past the point where you thought it couldn't possibly get worse. So I guess we'll find out if this is the 2020 of book anthologies, and we will continue with this fabulously titled, okay, I'm being completely sarcastic, a story. I mean, listen, okay, maybe I'm being too harsh on this title, you tell me, but the title is Sweetheart Roland. The problem I have with this title is the name Roland is the worst fucking name ever in the history of ever. It makes you think of the word round or rotund or like a circle, and like nobody wants to fuck Roland, okay? Roland isn't a sexy name. Keep rolling, 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 rolling. No, it's not a sexy name. You can't convince me. It's a terrible fucking name. Oh God, it's horrible. Sweetheart Roland? No. Awful. Do not name your child Roland. And if your name is Roland, I apologize for roasting your name. God, that name. It's a really bad name, Grim. Shame on you for propagating that name. Just don't. It's bad. Don't do it. Don't name your child Roland, please. I really don't like that name. So we're going to read Sweetheart Roland. And hopefully it is just as fantastic as that title would suggest. And by the way, if you hear any background noise, which you won't because I'll edit it out and I'll just sound crazy, we are once again recording in my office because I go kind of stir crazy with this whole COVID thing, and I need a change of scenery from the closet. So here I am in my office, and you're welcome. So that's where we are today. Isn't it exotic? Sweetheart Roland. What a great name. Once upon a time, there was a mother who had one daughter of her own and hated her stepdaughter because she was 1,000 times more beautiful and better than her own. Damn! 1,000 times? Okay. Now, if we're not being hyperbolic, either her stepdaughter's hottest bitch in the world, or her own daughter is hideous as fuck. Quite possibly both, in both of these directions. Because 1,000 times? Do you know how astronomically large 1,000 times more would be? 1,000 times better? Good God. I really feel bad for her. For her daughter, because that kid's got to be really shitty. One time, the stepdaughter wore a beautiful apron that the other daughter liked and coveted so much out of envy that she told her mother she wanted the apron and insisted that she get it for her. "Be quiet, my dear child," said the mother. "You shall have it soon. Your stepsister has long since deserved to die." Dear, okay, 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 okay. Can we take a goddamn step back, lady? Okay, I'm understanding at this point this lady's got to be hyperbolic, because her own daughter is capable of speech, so she has a mouth, so the other girl can't be 1,000 times more beautiful. I'm sorry. I don't think objectively 1,000 times, whatever that would fucking even mean. I mean, to me, a person is either attractive or unattractive. There's varying degrees of it, you know? But I would never be like, this person is 1,000 times. It's such a random fucking number. And especially the terms better. What the fuck does that even mean? Better in what degree? Like, I'm assuming it's her own daughter. She's not an old lady. So this woman's her kid's probably still 12, knowing this is like Grimm's fairy tales. Like 12 is probably, you know, over the hill or something. You know, but it's like, the kid's like a kid. You'd be like, you're 1,000 times better. Fuck you for judging any kid like that, you know? They're not a fucking adult yet. Shit, like, don't damn someone to some kind of fucking feature. And so this lady's like, oh, she's so much better than you, we have to kill her. That's a shitty lesson to teach someone. That's how you get Karens. That's how they're created. You know? You teach them that, like, someone who's better than them deserves to die, rather than just accept that sometimes someone's better than you. Maybe propel it. Let that propel you to make yourself a better person, rather than shitting on the person for being better than you, right? Like, oh my God, improve myself rather than drag other people down for their success? What is this? Oh my God. I'm kidding. Come on, crabs, drag him down into the bucket. That's fucking ridiculous. Okay. Rant over. All right. Your stepsister has long since deserved to die. And tonight, I want you to get into the rear of the bed and push her toward the front. Then I'll come when she's asleep and chop off her head. Dear God. Well, But the stepdaughter had been standing in a corner and had overheard everything. Wow, she really planned out this plan poorly. Also, like, here's what I don't get. Okay, so she has to involve her daughter in this plot to cut off this girl's head by pushing her in her sleep toward the front of the bed so the mom can chop her head off, as opposed to just, what, moving 2 inches lower in the bed and not waking her up and giving her a chance to fight back against the axe that's going to cut her head off? I don't know. It's crazy talk. Crazy talk. Maybe also then you wouldn't have to explain your plan in the middle of the fucking living room when the victim of the plan is in a corner. Like, you can't see her in the fucking corner. How big is your goddamn house? Because I promise you, if I was standing in my living room and the person I'm gonna murder is standing in a fucking corner, I'm gonna see them. And I'm not gonna be like, hey, guess who I'm gonna murder? Alice. Oh shit, Alice is over there in the corner. Oh fuck, she overheard my plan. Don't push her in the bed after all. I'll cut her head off another night. Oh shit, I forgot she's still in the corner. I swear these people in these fairy tales are so bad. Oh my God. She'd been standing in a corner in their apparent giant mansion house where they didn't see her, or she was just standing 10 feet away and they don't have any peripheral vision. And they don't move their heads at all. They just stare straight forward at each other. She overheard everything. So she let the wicked daughter climb into bed first so she could lie down on the far side. But after she fell asleep, the other beautiful sister pushed her toward the front and took her place in the rear of the bed. During the night, the old woman crept into the room. She felt around to see if someone was actually lying up front. Then she gripped an axe with both hands and and began chopping until she chopped off her own child's head. You know, first of all, I mean, the plan was shit to begin with. Why would you even climb in the bed with the person whose head you were going to chop off? Like, why? Just why? Okay. But also, she knew she was willingly getting her stepsister murdered. She could have done something, but instead she willfully had her murder her. I mean, I'm kind of thinking maybe this kid is actually a fucking monster. And the stepmother was trying to kill her because she was like a heartless fucking bastard. She may be smart, you know? She may be beautiful, but she's fucking evil. Murdering people or something. Anyway, she killed that kid. Apparently didn't look the whole time. After she'd left the room, the maiden stood up and went to her sweetheart, whose name was Roland, such a good name, and knocked at his door.
"Listen," she cried out. "We must flee in haste. My stepmother killed her own daughter and thinks she actually killed me. When the sun rises and she sees what she's done, I'll be lost. So I've taken her magic wand to help ourselves along the way."
What the fuck? She has a magic wand? Then why'd she cut anyone's head off? She has magic. What? Okay, I'm taking an intermission. I'm actually gonna go get a drink because I don't have any, and this story has me thirsty. You go listen to the intermission music while I walk off. Good fucking God. That mother fucking story. It's like, oh shit.
Fucking Christ, this fucking story. I swear to God, it's pissing me off.
Oh my God, Grim has gone too far now. Can't take it any longer. Grim has gone mad with power. I'm shaking the fucking desk. Thirst for a better story. Oh God, I can't even screw this cap properly. The bottom part came with it, the whole part's coming off.
Okay. I'm better now. Now I can continue. This, wonderful. Wonderful story. Okay.
Great, I fucking lost my place. Okay. Oh yeah, she had a magic wand. Seriously? She had a magic wand. Why'd she cut her head off? Why didn't she has magic. Instead of using her magic, she used a fucking axe to cut off the kid's head, which is really sloppy and easily traced back to her. And she could have used her magic wand. What the fuck? This lady deserves what she has coming. She's so stupid. Okay. She has a magic wand, but she didn't use it. In lieu of her fantastic, push her to the front of the bed and I'll cut her head off with this axe. Great fucking plan, lady. That fucking plan was good. Okay. Sweetheart Roland stood up, and before they left, they went first to take the dead head of the stepsister. It's kind of gross, and let 3 drops of blood drip from it onto the floor. 1 in front of the bed, 1 in the kitchen, and 1 on the stairs. Then they ran off. Okay, they're fucking with the corpse now. This is getting weird. The next morning, when the mother got up, she called her daughter. Come, you'll get the apron now. But the daughter didn't come. Where are you? What the fuck? Here I am. On the stairs, sweeping, answered 1 of the drops of blood. The fuck? Did they use the magic, or is this just a thing that happens? 'Cause getting your period would be weird as fuck. Just saying. Oh god, okay. The old woman went out, but saw no one. Where are you?
Here I am, in the kitchen, warming myself,
the second drop of blood replied. The old woman went into the kitchen, but found no one there. Where are you?
Here I am, in bed, sleeping.
The old woman ran into the room where she saw her own daughter in her bed, swimming in blood. That's fucking sick, okay? That's fucking sick as fuck. You lured that woman to see her own daughter's corpse. That's fucking sick. Okay. Wow. She was horrified and realized that she had been deceived. All at once, she burst into anger and rushed to the window. Since she was a witch, yeah, I know, apparently, she could see quite far into the world, and she spotted her stepdaughter fleeing with her sweetheart. They were already far away. So she put on her 7-league boots. What the fuck are those? What are those? What are 7-league boots? Someone tell me in the comments below. I need them. And it didn't take her long before she had overtaken them. However, the maiden knew through the magic wand that they were being followed. How? And turned herself into a lake. What? Why did she go chopping off heads when she had a magic wand that could turn a bitch into a lake? Why? Why? Why did you use these weapons? That makes no fucking sense. It's like going to war. You have a machine gun. And instead, you bring a fucking pencil sharpener. Like, why? Literally. It's so bad. I don't even understand. I mean, it's like... It's so point... What? Okay, and she made Roland a duck. What? Okay... Then the stepmother arrived. She sat down on the bank of the lake and threw breadcrumbs to lure the duck to shore. What? She threw the bread and the... How did it soak up her body? How does this even work? I'm so confused. It's just like that other story from before, because they rehash all their stories. But I still don't understand it. Is the water her blood? What part of her is being eaten by her boyfriend? That's not a sexual thing. That's not what I meant. Okay. But it was all in vain, and by nightfall the old woman had to return home without having accomplished anything. Meanwhile, the maiden and her sweetheart regained their natural forms and continued on their way. At daybreak, however, the witch pursued them once more. Then the maiden changed herself into a beautiful flower growing in the middle of a briar hedge,
and her sweetheart was transformed into a fiddler.
Is that just another man that plays a fiddle? Or is it just him, but also playing fiddle? What is a fiddler, exactly? Pretty sure that's not like a... it's just a job, right? When you do a new job, you're not transformed into a thing. It's like when you get your doctorate. Congratulations, you've transformed into a doctor. We're not a Pokemon, like Jesus Christ. We're just people. Transformed into a fiddler. Whew.
When the old woman arrived, she asked the fiddler whether she could pluck the beautiful flower.
Of course, he answered, and I'll play a tune while you're doing it.
So she crawled into the hedge to pluck it, and as she reached the middle of the hedge, she began to play a tune, and she was compelled to dance and dance without stopping, so that the thorns tore the clothes from her body and scratched her so badly that blood flowed, and she died from the wounds. These bitches don't play. Now they were both free, and Roland said to the maiden, I want to go to my father and arrange for the wedding. In the meantime, I'll turn myself into a red stone and stay here and wait until you come back for some bizarre bullshit reason. Roland departed, and the maiden stood in a field as a red stone and waited for her sweetheart a long time. But he didn't return and had forgotten her because his stupid fucking bitch turned himself into a fucking stone for no goddamn reason. And even if he had returned, how can he fucking find you? You're a stone in a field. What? No. Of course he forgot her. Now she's probably going to kill him too. I think that's how she deals with their problems. When he failed to come back, she grew sad, turned herself into a flower, and thought, someone will surely come along and trample me.
Uh-huh. This bitch is playing games. Don't play games.
But a shepherd found the flower, and since it was so beautiful, he took it with him and tucked it away in his chest, so he killed her, because he pulled her from the ground, right?
Okay, apparently not.
From that time on, amazing things began to happen in the shepherd's cottage. When he got up in the morning, all the work would be already done, the sweeping, dusting, and a fire in the hearth. At noon, when he came home, the food was cooked and the table set, the meal served. He couldn't figure out how all this was happening, for he never saw a living soul in his cottage. Though it pleased him very much, he eventually became frightened and went to a wise woman for advice. She told him that there was magic behind all this, and he should get up very early one morning and watch for anything that moved in the room. Then, if he saw something, he was to quickly throw a white cloth over it.
Wow, I could have told this guy this advice. Oh, you throw a white cloth over it. Shit, this person's clearly making this up as they go.
The shepherd did as she told him, and on the following morning he saw the chest open and the flower come out. Immediately he threw the white cloth over the flower, and suddenly the transformation came to an end, and the beautiful maiden, whom her sweetheart Roland had forgotten, stood before him. The shepherd wanted to marry her, but she said no, because she only wanted to serve him and clean his house. Soon thereafter she heard that Roland was about to hold a wedding and marry another maiden. It was customary at this event for every person who attended it to sing. So the faithful maiden also went, but she didn't want to sing until at last she was compelled to do so. As she began to sing, Roland recognized her right away, jumped up, and said that she was his true bride, and he didn't want anyone else but her. So he married her, and her sorrows came to an end while her joy began to thrive. But the woman he had fucking met and married in the meantime was fucking screwed. Holy shit, that's fucked. And also, like, the guy that, like, thought the flower was beautiful and helped her and, like, saved her, he also gets shafted. Dude. Like, Roland also forgot her. He wasn't a good guy. This other guy didn't forget her. This is some bullshit. I guess it's two shitty people deserving each other. Because, like, that's shitty. You don't do that. What the fuck, Roland? You live up to that fucking namesake. Alright, let's read another one of these disasters, shall we? This one is called The Golden Bird. A certain king... Okay, are you going to name names? A certain king? What is this, a blind item? Tell me. A certain king. Whoever the fuck that is.
King, go fuck yourself. What the hell, a certain king? I hate when they do this wishy-washy bullshit. You're writing a bullshit fantasy story. You can name whoever the king is. Don't pretend you can't tell me. You can fucking tell me. You're making up the name. It's just a certain king. All you're telling me is you don't know what the name is. You couldn't think of one. Which is dumb, because you recycle the same 20 stories over and over. So, just name him Roland. There, I got the name for you. Is it King Roland? You got a name. It's right there. A certain king. Had a pleasure garden. And in this garden there was a tree that bore golden apples. Soon after, the apples became ripe. One was found missing the very first night. The king became furious and ordered his gardener to keep watch under the tree every night. So the gardener commanded his eldest son to guard the tree, but he fell asleep at midnight, and the next night another apple was missing. So the gardener had his second son stand guard the following night, but he too fell asleep at midnight. Jesus, what is with these kids in midnight? And in the morning yet another apple was missing. Now the third son wanted to stand guard, but the gardener wasn't satisfied at first. Finally, he relented, and the third son lay down under the tree and watched, and when the clock struck midnight, the air was filled with noise, and a bird came flying. Okay, so literally it happens at midnight, and if they had just waited until fucking midnight, they would have caught this thing. Oh my god, midnight's not even that fucking late. My god, what the hell? Okay, so there's a bird made entirely out of gold. And just as it was about to peck off an apple with its beak, the gardener sensed up and hurriedly shot an arrow at the bird. However, the arrow didn't harm the bird other than costing it a feather as it quickly flew away. The next morning, the golden feather was brought to the king, who immediately assembled with his counselors, and everyone declared unanimously that a feather like this was worth more than the entire kingdom. What the fuck? No, it's not. It's just a feather made of gold. How poor is the kingdom? Is it made of cardboard? I feel like a feather made of gold is not worth more than the kingdom. I'm sorry. If you have like a legitimate kingdom to trade me for the amount of gold that would be in like a bird's feather, a typical bird's feather, then yeah, sure, I'll take your fucking kingdom for like an ounce of gold or what the fuck ever that was. I'm telling you, it's a cardboard kingdom. Like, legitimately, my car is worth more than that feather, so I don't understand. I don't even have a really good car, so... like, an average at best car. Literally no one's impressed. But apparently it's more than this man's whole kingdom. So that's a little sad.
"One feather alone won't help me," said the king. "I want and must have the entire bird."
So the king's eldest son set out and was certain he'd find the golden bird. After he had gone a short distance, he came to a forest, and on the edge of the forest sat a fox. So the prince grabbed his rifle and took aim, but the fox started speaking. "Don't shoot! I'll give you some good advice if you hold your fire. I already know where you want to go. You want to catch the golden bird. This evening you'll come to a village where you'll see two inns facing each other. One will be brightly lit, with a great deal of merrymaking inside. Don't go into that place. Instead, go into the other one, even though it looks dismal." But the son thought, "How can an animal give me sensible advice?" And he took his rifle and pulled the trigger. However, the shot missed the fox, who stretched out his tail and dashed quickly into the forest. Then the eldest son continued his journey, and by evening he arrived at the village where the two inns were standing. In one of them there was singing and dancing, while the other appeared rather dismal and shabby.
"I'd certainly be a fool," he thought, "if I were to stay at that dismal-looking inn instead of staying at this beautiful one here. What a fucking retard. A talking fox told you to do it. Shut up and listen to the fortune-telling talking fox, you fucking moron." I mean, I'm a skeptic, but Jesus. I mean, even if I felt it was some, like, insanity-drooled, I can't even talk, for my drug-fueled fantasies. Even if I thought it was a fantasy,
this fucking odds of it coming exactly like that, with the two ends facing each other and one being beautiful and being shitty. Now, granted, maybe the fox somehow has a fucking stake in the shitty looking inn and says, please stay at the shitty one, says the fortune-telling fox. Then okay, granted, I might be a sucker, but I don't know. I think that guy's too quick to figure that that fox is full of shit. He tried to kill it too, so I don't know about that, man. Kind of fucked up. So, of course, he didn't listen to the fox, because, you know. So we went into the cheerful inn, lived the hilt like a king, and forgot the bird and his home. After some time had passed and the eldest son still hadn't returned home, the second son set out, and he too encountered the fox and received good advice. But when he came to the two inns, he saw his brother at the window of the inn, in which there were sounds of carousing. Sorry, I'm not used to that word. It totally threw my tongue off course. When his brother called out to him, he couldn't resist and whiled his time away in good cheer. Some more months passed by, and now the youngest son also wanted to set out into the world, but his father refused to let him go. The king was most fond of him, and afraid that he would have a mishap and wouldn't return. However, his son wouldn't leave him in peace, so that the king finally permitted his son to depart. At the edge of the forest, he too encountered the fox, who gave him the good advice. Since the young prince was good-natured and didn't attempt to harm the animal's life, the fox said, "Climb on my tail, and you'll get there more quickly." No sooner did the prince sit down on the fox's tail than the fox began to run. And the fox went over sticks and stones so swiftly that the wind whistled through the prince's hair. Why did they tell us that? That's so random. When they came to the village, the prince got off the tail, followed the fox's good advice, and, without looking around, entered the shabbier inn and spent a quiet night there. The next morning he found the fox on his way once again, and the fox said to him, "If you go straight ahead, you'll eventually come to a castle. In front of this castle there's a whole regiment of soldiers lying on the ground, but don't worry about them, for they'll all be snoring and sleeping. Enter the castle and proceed until you come to a chamber where the golden bird is hanging in a wooden cage. Nearby you'll also find a magnificent golden cage hanging just for decoration. But be careful not to take the bird out of its shabby cage and put it into the good one. Otherwise, you'll be in for trouble." So, I mean, you're basically stealing this bird from someone. That would make me feel bad. I mean, if it was like a free bird and I was just capturing it, that's one thing. But you're stealing from someone. That's not cool. Upon saying these words, the fox stretched out his tail again. Oh man, it was supposed to be a dude. I guess it just has a girl's voice. I guess it's just, gender fluid fox. Upon saying these words, the fox stretched out his tail again, and the prince sat down on it. The fox raced over sticks and stones so swiftly that the wind whistled through the prince's hair. They really have this thing about the prince's hair. Every time. Is his hair really flowing and beautiful, or is it like all fucked up like my hair gets in the wind? It never looks good. It looks like just a gigantic rat's nest at the end. It's never like sexy and flowing. It's like, oh my god, it's turned into a giant knot. It's awful. Again, I guess the wind whistled through his hair. That's got to be an interesting sound. When the young man is like, so it's amazing. When the young man arrived in front of the castle, everything was as the fox said it would be. He entered the last room, saw the golden bird sitting in its wooden cage, and also a golden cage beside it. The three golden apples were lying about the room as well. The prince thought it would be ridiculous to leave the beautiful bird in a plain ugly cage. No, why? Oh my god, people are so dumb. So he opened the door, grabbed hold of the bird, and put it into the golden cage. As soon as that happened, the bird uttered a dreadful cry that caused the soldiers to wake up, and soon they took the prince prisoner and led him to the king. The next morning he was brought before the court, and after he confessed everything, he was sentenced to death. However, the king said he would spare his life under one condition. The prince had to bring him the golden horse that ran faster than the wind. Okay, you're making shit up now, I see. If he did, he would receive the golden bird as his reward. The prince set out, but he was depressed and sighed. All of a sudden, however, the fox stood in front of him again and said, "You see, all this happened because you didn't listen to me. However, if you listen to me, I'll give you advice once again. This time, how to get the golden horse. First, you must go straight ahead until you come to a castle where the horse is standing in the stable. There will be stable boys lying on the ground out front, but they'll be snoring and sleeping, and you'll be able to lead the golden horse out of its stable with ease, out of its stall with ease." Okay, what is with everybody in these stories sleeping all the time? Sleep's consistent fucking problem in this town. Okay, so everyone's asleep yet a fucking again. And you'll be able to lead the golden horse out of its stall with ease. But make sure you put the poor wooden and leather saddle on the horse and not the golden one that's hanging nearby. He's probably going to fuck up again. He's an asshole. Then the youngest son sat down on the fox's tail, and the fox raced over sticks and stones so swiftly that the wind whistled through the prince's hair. Shortly after, everything happened as the fox said it would. The grooms snored and were holding golden saddles in their hands. When he saw the golden horse, he felt sorry for it and thought it would be a shame to put the poor saddle on it. So he decided to give the horse the one he deserved. Yet, just as he was about to take a good saddle from one of the stable boys, the groom woke up, as did the others. Again he was captured and thrown into prison. The next morning he was sentenced to death. Again. However, his life would be spared and he would be granted the golden horse and the bird as well if he fetched the marvelously beautiful princess. Wait, why does he get to keep the horse and the bird? Does the other king now also have the bird? Why are they both going in for it? I don't understand. Why does he get to keep them now? And now he has to steal a woman, which is basically kidnap a woman and force her to marry me. That's fucked up. Mm-hmm. People are not property. So the son sadly set out on his way, and soon the old fox was standing there again. "Why didn't you listen to me? You'd have the bird and the horse by now. Nevertheless, I'll give you advice one more time. Now go straight out, and toward evening you'll come to a castle. At midnight, the princess will go to the bathhouse to bathe herself. You're to go inside and give her a kiss. By doing this, you'll be able to take her with you. But don't allow her to take leave of her parents." The fox stretched out his tail and raced over sticks and stones so swiftly that the wind whistled through the prince's hair. When he arrived at the golden castle, it was just as the fox had said it would be. At night, he gave the princess a kiss in the bathhouse, and she was ready to go with him, but she implored him with tears to let her say farewell to her parents. At first, he refused, but when she kept on weeping and fell at his feet, he finally gave in. But no sooner did the princess approach her father than he and everyone else in the castle woke up, and the young man was taken prisoner. The next morning the king said to him, "You may have my daughter, only if you remove the mountain that's lying in front of my window and blocking my view. You have 1 week to perform this task." Okay. So he's just making shit up. Cool, gotcha. This mountain, however, was so huge, so very huge, that it would have taken all the people in the world to carry it away. Probably not. And after he had worked for 7 whole days and saw how little he had accomplished, I gotta give it to this guy for trying. Because I gotta tell you, if someone says, literally move a mountain in a week, I'm going, so that's not happening. I'm not renting a fucking backhoe and attempting it. I'm sorry. And this is what, in the 1800s? Would this guy have a shovel? I'm picturing him like 12 hours a day shoveling at this mountain. Just like trying to move it so desperately. These people hiking up the mountain, like, what's that guy doing down there? I don't know. He's been out here for 4 days. I think he's crazy. He became very worried. No shit. However, on the evening of the 7th day, the fox appeared and said, Go lay down and get some sleep. I'll do the job for you. The next morning, when the young man awoke, the mountain had vanished. So he went cheerfully to the king and told him that the mountain had been removed, and he was now to give him his daughter. So the king had to do this. I mean, not really, but I guess he chose to. And the two of them now sat out together. However, the fox came and said, "Now we must have all three, the princess, the horse, and the bird." "Yes," said the young man, "if you can do all this, but it will be difficult for you." "If you only listen, things will work out," the fox replied. "Now when you come to the king, who demanded the marvelously beautiful princess, tell him, 'Here she is.' They will give you there will be enormous rejoicing. So mount the golden horse that they must give you and shake hands with everyone and say goodbye. Make sure that the beautiful maiden is the last person, and when you have clasped her hand, swing her up to you in one motion and gallop away." Everything went as planned, and the fox spoke once more to the young man. "Now, as you approach the castle where the golden bird's being kept, I'll remain with the princess before the gate. Then ride into the castle courtyard. They'll see that the golden horse is the right one, and so they'll carry out the golden bird. You remain sitting and tell them that you want to see if the bird is the right one. As soon as you have the cage in your hand, you race away." Everything went well, and as soon as he had the bird, the princess got on the horse again. And they continued to ride through the vast forest. Then the fox came and said he wanted the young man to shoot him dead and cut off his head and paws. What? The fuck. Fuck this fucking story! Oh my god! Why? Grim, what? Why? It wasn't going so bad this time. Why, Grim? Why? Why you gotta do it like that? Why? Oh my god. However, the young man absolutely refused. "Well then," said the fox, "at least I'll give you one last piece of advice. Beware of two things. Don't buy flesh that's bound for the gallows, and don't sit on the edge of a wall."
"That's not so difficult, if that's all there is to it."
So now the young man continued his journey with the beautiful maiden until he finally came to the village where his two brothers had remained. All at once there was a great commotion and uproar, so he asked what was going on and was told that two men were about to be hanged. When he came closer to the scene, he saw that the men were his brothers, who had committed all sorts of terrible acts and had squandered all their possessions. "Can't they be pardoned in any way?" the young man asked.
"No, unless you're willing to spend your money for these crooks and buy their freedom."
The prince didn't think twice about it and paid what they demanded. His brothers were set free, and he continued his journey in their company. When they came to the forest where they had first met the fox, it was cool and lovely there. And the two brothers said, "Let's go over to the well and rest a while. We could also eat and drink. We all know what's happening. We all know what's coming. He's about to get betrayed and pushed in the well by his brothers, isn't he? I can fucking see it happening, and it's going to. Because fuck you, Grim, because fuck you, and I see up your fucking sleeve, you sick bastard. Let's read this story of fucking death and betrayal." And honestly, like, this fox, they should have just listened to what the fox said. "Okay, follow your felon brothers that you just saved their lives, those fucking grateful assholes." The young prince said yes, and during their conversation he forgot the fox's warning and sat down on the ledge of the well, not suspecting any evil doing, unlike me, who saw this coming a mile of fucking way. But the two brothers pushed him backward down into the well, took the maiden, the horse, the bird, and went home to the king. "We've managed to capture all this. We've brought you everything." There was great rejoicing, but the horse refused to eat. The bird didn't sing, and the maiden sat and wept. Meanwhile, the youngest brother lay down in the well that fortunately was dry. And even though he hadn't broken any of his arms and legs, he couldn't find his way out. Yeah, good thing he was wearing plot armor, huh, Grim? Meanwhile, The old fox came once again and scolded him for not listening, because otherwise this would not have happened. Nevertheless,
I can't help myself and must help you out.
Grab my tail and hold on tightly. Then the fox pulled him up to the top. When they were above, the fox said, your brother is supposed to guards who are to kill you if you cross the border. So the prince put on the clothes of a poor man and succeeded in reaching the king's court without being recognized. No sooner was he there than the bird began to sing, the horse began to eat, and the princess stopped weeping. Then the prince appeared before the king and revealed the brother's crime and how everything had happened. So the brothers were seized and executed, and he received the princess. Later, after his father's death, he became king as well. Many years later, the prince went walking through the forest again and encountered the old fox, who implored him desperately to shoot him dead and cut off his head and paws. This time the prince did it, and no sooner was it done than the fox turned into none other than the brother of the beautiful princess and was finally released from a magic spell. That dude pimped out his own sister. Dude, you sold your sister off in slavery to this guy, and all his brothers are fucking weirdos. None of them listen to you. They're all stupid. You're terrible brothers. You're 1 of 10 brother. I'm going to read one more story because it's short, and we need to wipe the memory of that garbage brother out of our minds. With this most lovely story, which will surely not have death and betrayal like the last two, called Loyal Godfather Sparrow. This is going to be nice, and it fucking better be. Once upon a time, there was a deer about to give birth, and she asked the fox to be the godfather. However, the fox invited the sparrow to be godfather as well, and the sparrow also wanted to invite his special good friend, the house dog, to be godfather. However, the dog's master had tied him up with a rope, because the dog had returned home very drunk from a wedding. What? The dog returned home drunk from a wedding. The dog? Okay. The sparrow thought that this was not a problem, and pecked at the rope, one thread after the other, as long as it took for the dog to be released. Now they went together to the godfather's banquet and enjoyed themselves very much, because there was plenty to eat and drink there. The dog, however, didn't pay attention and drank too much wine again, as dogs are known to do. When they stood up, his head was so heavy that he could barely stand on his four legs. He sounds like he's got a drinking problem. Nevertheless, he staggered part of the way toward home. Finally, however, he fell over and remained lying in the middle of the road. Just then a carter came and wanted to drive over him with his cart. Not like almost drove over him, but like wanted to drive over him. Didn't you ever just see a drunk stumble in the road and you're like, man, I want to run you over? No? Well, the carter can't relate. Carter, don't do that, the sparrow cried out. Or you'll pay for it with your life. Of course, this wasn't going to be a happy story. Of course. However, the carter didn't listen to him. Instead, he whipped the horses and drove the horses right over the dog, so the wheels broke the dog's bones. This is so much worse than I thought it was going to be. Oh my god. Sorry, they just crushed that dog to death. That guy just intentionally crushed that dog to death. Wow, Grim got darker. It's the 2020 stories. Grim just killed the dog. Wow, we just killed the dog. Okay. Mm-hmm. The fox and the sparrow dragged the godfather home, and when the dog's master saw him, he said, he's dead, and gave him to the carter to bury. Why would you give it to the carter to bury him? What the fuck? Now the carter thought that the dog's skin was still useful. Really? That's fucking gross. So he loaded the dog onto his cart and drove away. However, the sparrow flew nearby and yelled out, "Carter, you'll pay for this with your life! Carter, you'll pay for this with your life!" You know, I like to imagine it's going just tweet, 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 tweet. The carter was angry at the little bird because he thought he was being taken for a fool. What? Okay. So he grabbed his axe and tried to hit the sparrow. That's dumb. Who flew higher into the air. Instead of hitting the sparrow, the carter hit his horse's head. So the horse fell down dead. The carter had to leave it lying there and drove on with the other two horses. Then the sparrow returned and sat down on the head of another horse. "Carter, you'll pay for this with your life!" The carter ran toward the bird and yelled, "I've got you!" But as he tried to hit the sparrow, he struck his horse on the head so that it fell over dead. Now there was only one horse left, in case you can't do basic math. The sparrow didn't wait long and sat down on the head of the third horse and cried out, "Carter, you'll pay for this with your life!" But the carter was now so furious that he didn't think about what he was doing, and he just swung his axe randomly. Now all his horses had been beaten to death, and he had to leave the cart standing there. Angry and vitriolic, he went home and sat down behind the oven. What the... He sat down behind the oven? That's not a thing people do. He sat down behind... I'm guessing it's not up against the wall like my oven, because that shit's not... I'm just imagining going home upset, just pulling the oven forward and just jumping in that space between the wall and the oven. Like, that's my cozy little disgusting, dusty hideaway nobody ever fucking cleans. Like, no one sits behind the oven. That's fucking weird. Don't do that. He went home and sat behind the oven. Let's see. Okay. And, the bird hopped inside the house, sat on top of the oven, and cried out, "Carter! You'll pay for this with your life!" Crazy and blind with rage, he chopped the entire oven to pieces. And as the sparrow flew from one place to another, the carter smashed all the household utensils. Mirrors, chairs, benches, table, and the walls of the house. That's a lot of time that guy took. He took a significant time sort of to destroy everything he owns. He just broke it all down. Finally, he grabbed hold of the sparrow and said, "Now I've got you!" He stuck the bird into his mouth and swallowed it whole. He's stupid. However, when the sparrow was in the carter's body, it began to flap its wings and it fluttered up the carter's mouth, stuck its head outside and cried out, "Carter, you'll pay for this with your life!" Well, now the carter gave the axe to his wife and commanded, "Wife, strike the bird in my mouth and kill it." But the wife missed her mark, and instead she struck the husband in the head, so he immediately fell to the ground dead, while the sparrow flew out and away. Moral of the story, do not wield your axe like an idiot. Show caution with your axes. If a target is directly inside of your mouth, don't hand an axe to a friend and suggest that they throw that axe at your face. I don't really think it matters that the wife missed. Otherwise, she would have just chopped him in the fucking mouth, which in my opinion is worse. I'm like, oh good, it only went through his neck instead of bisecting his fucking face. That's what Grimm's Fairy Tales has me thankful for now, that only the man's head was chopped. But not his face. He got to maintain some of his humanity. And hopefully you still have yours if you've made it all the way here to the very end. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love you all very much. And hopefully I will see you here again back next week. All right, I'll talk to you then. Bye, guys. Mwah.